With college graduations come commencement speeches by the hundreds, and not all speakers are equally welcome. U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was booed during a speech at Bethune-Cookman University. That's a historically black Florida college. And earlier this semester, controversy surrounded scheduled appearances of alt-right speakers like Ann Coulter and Richard Spencer occurred as well. Lawrence Shaw is the president of Oglethorpe University in Atlanta. Hello there.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And we also have Kijua Sanders-McBurktree. She is Associate Vice President and Dean at Agnes Scott College. Hello to you as well.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Let's start with Betsy DeVos, since that's the most recent occurrence in this particular line. Let's first hear a little bit of Betsy DeVos speaking, and you can hear the boos at Bethune-Cookman University.
Later today, I will have the honor of visiting Dr. Bethune's home and paying my respects at her gravesite. In her last will and testament.
So here is a clip from just a few moments later of the university president, Edison Jackson, who stepped in.
If this behavior continues, your degrees will be mailed to you. Choose which way you want to go.
Kijua, let's start with you and your response to this, because of what Edison Jackson said, the NAACP, the local NAACP, called for his resignation. What do you make of this?
Well, I think there's a lot here. You know, first of all, there's this history. Mary McLeod Bethune is the daughter of slaves. How she, you know, the very notion of founding a historically black college, much like the college where I work as a historically women's college, these institutions were created for access when people were barred from being admitted. And Secretary DeVos just did not demonstrate a knowledge and a history of that. And I think that's what those students were responding to and resisting.
She had compared attending an HBCU with school choice.
Right. And so I think, had this not been a celebratory occasion like commencement, I think we would probably have had a very different response from the students. So in my opinion, I think that the administrators, and I'm an administrator, so this is no indictment of all administrators, but I think the administrators need to be really thoughtful about having those types of speakers be at an occasion like this one. I think I would not have thought this was the best occasion for Secretary DeVos to be present, in particular because it is a celebratory event in terms of commencement. I don't know in terms of, you know, I think the president's threat was a little empty, to be honest with you. These students were already completing their degree requirements. And
real degree was mailed to me anyway. They just gave me a fake one when I walked at University of Michigan.
Some institutions, I don't know about Oglethorpe, but, you know, President Shull can respond to that. But at Agnes Scott, we do give them their degrees
We give them real one.
University of Michigan doesn't. Well, let me take this to you then, Lawrence. Is there a difference, as Kijua is suggesting, between a speaker that you would have just speak on campus and someone you would invite for commencement?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think the only one that seemed to be surprised by the reaction that the secretary got was the president.
Right.
I think it's important to remember that the students speaking out at their commencement was also free speech.
Yep.
So, you know, she got to give her talk. They got to express their dissatisfaction. Again, I don't think he seemed to be the only one that in the room that was surprised or watching. I assume they have some process where they decide how they're going to select a commencement speaker.
I'm sure there's a vote of some kind.
In our case, the faculty approve and the board approve. I don't know what happened there, but it seemed an odd choice. But in my view, you know, it was not not some tragedy. She was invited. She accepted. People called for her to be disinvited. I think once you invite someone, you got to be very careful about disinviting them. So I was glad that he didn't disinvite, but I also appreciated the students having their voice.
Well, then let's talk about speakers who are not speaking at commencement. There have been reports that members of the alt-right, and again, I want to make clear to listeners and everybody that when we're talking about specific kind of speakers, we're not talking about conservative versus liberal. There's tons of conservative people that speak both at commencement and regularly at universities all the time. We're talking about people like Richard Spencer, who's a white supremacist. He spoke at Auburn University. Here's a little clip of him speaking there.
There are some cowardly bureaucrats who think that law is just a means, a little trick that they can use to suppress speech they don't like. But there are many people at this university who actually think that law has meaning.
Q, Kijua, this can be tricky because there's actually an alt-right strategy that's been reported to get as many speakers as possible at universities in order to test the limits of free speech. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if Richard Spencer were to want to come to Agnes Scott, I would not be at all in favor of it for a number of reasons. We have a long history in Atlanta of needing to combat anti-Semitism, and the alt-right has been very openly, you know, critical of any, you know, dissenting opinion around their speech, but also very not thoughtful about the types of things that they say. And we encourage students to be not harmful to each other. We encourage students to be respectful of each other. So it's a value incongruence to bring speakers who don't actually do that, who don't actually live by that ethos. And so, I can't speak for everyone at my college or university, but I would be very, very concerned if we were to bring someone like Richard Spencer, particularly given Atlanta's history with Leo Frank being lynched in Atlanta, with this long history of needing to respond to anti-Semitism in really powerful ways and speak up against, you know, how people are being treated and respected. And so now if he were on a panel and there were divergent opinions being represented and people were going to be able to test him and challenge him, I think I would be much more open to that. But I think we as college university officials have to be really conscientious about how we ask these students to critically engage ideas, but yet not invite speakers that actually shut down ideas and actually shut down a discourse that allows their opinions to be challenged. And so that would be my concern with the alt-right.
Leo Frank that she mentioned was a reference to a 1913 murder case in which a Jewish businessman was convicted of murdering a factory worker and the people he was dragged out of his cell and hung. What about at Oglethorpe University? How do you handle, you haven't had, you said, requests from some a member of the alt-right, but how would you handle it?
So I think the question of the sort of the first order is there speech that you wouldn't allow or that you wouldn't permit on campus? And if the question is yes, that there is a line somewhere, and then the question is, how do you draw that line? And that's always a complicated question. I think your first question there is the content meaningful? And is it intended largely to incite? And is it hateful? And is it meant to divide? No one has a right to speak. And we're private universities. Mm-hmm. No one's got a right to speak on our campus. And so I think when we give the platform of our campus over to someone, that we'd like to... We think about doing that in a way that's consistent with the values that we hold as an institution.
And what do we want our students to learn from those individuals? That's the other piece.
We keep forgetting that they're educational institutions, eh? So then let's talk, we're talking about a private university. Let's talk philosophically, at least, about a public university, UC Berkeley, where there was actually violence, protests that became violent because of Richard Spencer. Ann Coulter was her scheduled engagement to speak at UC Berkeley was canceled. She went on The Political View with Whoopi Goldberg and talked about that.
Basically, every conservative speaker has all of these requirements put on the speech, and other ones just say, oh, come on, I'm not going to speak off campus and, you know, from a hot air balloon at 3 in the morning. So, which is why I kept saying, no, I agree. Whatever requirements they put on my speech, and then the next morning, I wake up and, they canceled anyway.
So, Kijua, where do you draw this line that Larry was talking about in terms of what speech is productive at a university and welcomed and what is not? And in the case of UC Berkeley, when does the question of safety because of protests come into play?
Yeah, I think safety is primary for any of us in a higher education institution. We want our students to be safe on campus. And so if a speaker is going to incite potential riots or rebellions that are going to really put people at harm, that's always going to be a no-brainer for us not to have that speaker there. I think she's inaccurate in her representation that free thought and free speech and you know, people being given guidelines is not typical of speakers. I've invited many speakers to campus, and we often will ask them about their content and what they're going to talk about.
But regardless of their political
beliefs. Regardless of their political beliefs. But I would also say the classroom is a place where they are constantly having rigorous debate about issues. And so when speakers say things about a college or university campus, as those all these liberal-leaning people are somehow keeping out ideas and free expression, that's just absolutely inaccurate and not representative of the truth at all. College colleges and universities are the places where people are, particularly liberal arts colleges, where people are critically engaging ideas all of the time. And that's core to our mission. I know it is at Agnes Scott. So we welcome, you know, divergent opinions, and we encourage them. In fact, we do that pretty regularly at our own institution around dialogue. So I just don't agree that there are all these restrictions, particularly on certain types of speakers, conservative, liberal. That's just not accurate.
Larry, do you want to address that in these last 2 minutes?
I mean, my quarrel here, and it's really my only quarrel, is that I think once you make the decision to invite someone to speak, I mean, all these things should have been thought about ahead of time. Ann Coulter's not an unknown character. You know what she's going to say. You know there's going to be protest. So in that case, I think having invited her, I think the bar to disinvite needs to be very high. Because otherwise speech can get shut down.
Which
just by
should
protesting.
Suggest that you have to be extra careful in the invite.
Yes. Right. So, I think we would not likely invite her for the reasons, because I think her speech is largely meant to
You would not invite her for the very same reasons that her speech was canceled.
Right. But having invited her,
you would allow it to go forward.
I would allow it to go forward.
It's a tricky question.
It is.
Lawrence Schall is president of Oglethorpe University, and we also spoke with Kijua Sanders McMurtry, associate vice president and dean for community diversity at Agnes Scott College. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, this is always open for feedback from listeners. Give us your thoughts on this issue. Call us at 404-500-9457 or reach us on social media.